Well, the question that we often ask ourselves in life, whether you're a senior or whether you're earlier in the journey of life, can God really be trusted? It was a question that God's people long ago in Isaiah faced and asked themselves in the midst of the circumstances that they were in. And it's a question that, if we're honest, we can still question, find ourselves asking and facing in the midst of the life circumstances we might find ourselves in. When your prayers seem unanswered, when your hopes seem shattered, when your finances seem tight, when your future seems unclear, when fear seems to overwhelm you, when the foundations of your life or your faith might be being shaken. This question of whether God can be trusted or not is answered in the book of Isaiah. It's answered decisively yes by Isaiah, not just for one or two reasons, but for many and varied reasons. But God's people had lost sight of that in the midst of the circumstances that they found themselves in. And last week, Charlie Fletcher, who spoke last week, began this series that we're looking at over this last term of the year, through to Christmas Day, on the book of Isaiah. And Charlie Fletcher, I heard him at night, and he gave a terrific message on the Isaiah, and he spoke about the backdrop to what was going on as a part of. I asked him to give that backdrop as a part of introducing the series. And he did that and gave that really well. This backdrop that God's people were under siege, literally, as the might of the Assyrians came in to overwhelm them. But instead of relying on God in the midst of that, instead of trusting God to do what only God could do, what did they do? When it came to the crunch, they put their confidence in something or someone other than God. And you see this right through Isaiah, and not just Isaiah, but through the Bible, actually. And in Isaiah chapter 31, verse 1, it says, "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses." And that's what God's people were doing. The southern kingdom, as Charlie described last week, the southern kingdom part of God's people, they turned to Egypt for help. They relied on political alliances, on horses who trusted in the multitudes of their chariots and then in the great strength of their horsemen, but they did not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord. They talked about it, they knew it, but when it came to the crunch, they didn't really trust God. Idolatry is something that we can easily think is just applicable to those who put their confidence in statues or icons or images instead of in God. But the actual definition of idolatry actually is anyone who puts their confidence and trust in or relies on anything or anyone other than God. And that can be any of us, especially when we're under siege in the midst of life's challenges. Must admit that I feel like a bit of a ringing alongside our seniors this morning in this senior service. Although I must confess, I felt more like a senior than ever before at this time last week, and in the days that followed earlier this week, completing that marathon, alongside realizing over this breakaway that I'm approaching a birthday with a big zero alongside the end of it, much faster than I'd like. But seriously, I have no doubt that our seniors have faced many challenges and changes along the way of life. And yet, they along the way would have discovered more than most of us that God, more than anyone or anything, is someone who can be relied upon and trusted. Over 70 years, over 80 years, over 70 plus years, over 80 plus years. And that's why I encourage you earlier to take some time to share with them over morning tea or over the weeks ahead and hear some of their experiences through life and times when they have been under siege and yet have found God to be faithful. But in the verses from Isaiah that Shirley read to us earlier, there are a number of things that stand out as to why God really can be trusted. The first thing that stands out in these verses is that God can be trusted because God is our creator. Verse 18, this is what it says. For this is what the Lord says, he who created the heavens. He is God. He who fashioned and made the earth, he founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but he formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord and there is no other. Isaiah here is contrasting God as the creator of everything with the makers or the creators of idols. And he's spoken about them in the verses just before, in verses 16 and 17, where he says all the makers of idols will be put to shame and they will be disgraced. They will go off into disgrace together. But Israel will be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You will never be put to shame or disgraced to ages everlasting. Why is it that our God as creator can particularly be trusted? It's because as our creator, God is someone who knows us like no one else does. He knows us even better than we know ourselves. Speaking of classics, an original classic car, an original T-model Ford, broke down some years ago by the side of the road. And its owner at the time thought he knew a bit about cars. But despite his best efforts, he couldn't seem to get this original T-model Ford going again. And in the midst of his desperate efforts, he suddenly noticed that someone was alongside him. And this person said, "Can I help you?" And he was pretty frustrated by this point, so he said, "Well, look, what would you know? I'm not getting anywhere, so why not?" And this old man went to work. And it wasn't long before the old T-model Ford was firing up again and functioning just as it meant to, as it was meant to. "And how did you know what to do?" the car owner asked. To which the response came, "My name is Henry Ford. I made this car." In the midst of the brokenness of our lives, in the midst of the challenges that we might face, despite our best efforts to do it ourselves or to rely on things or other people, it's God as our creator who we need to be at work restoring and redeeming our situations, breaking through where we can't, bringing hope and healing and help. Because nothing and no one can bring that like God can. He's the one who knows us best. He's the one who made us. Why can God be trusted? Firstly, because he's our creator. But as we read on in these verses in Isaiah, we discover another reason why God can be trusted. And it's because of the character of God. As we read on into verse 19, God says, "I have not spoken in secret. I have not spoken from somewhere in a land of darkness. I have not said to Jacob's descendants, 'Seek me in vain,' but I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right." And a few verses on in verse 23, God says, "By myself I have sworn, my mouth has uttered in all integrity a word that will not be revoked." It's speaking here of speaking the truth, of declaring what is right, of speaking with integrity. And this is all about character. Character and trust are closely linked in life. It's not easy to trust someone, particularly not easy to trust someone who might have let you down or someone whose track record or whose character is questionable. But when it comes to God, as we read here in Isaiah and through the Bible, God's track record and God's character cannot be faltered. God is consistent and God is complete in who he is and what he's like. Psalm 117 verse 2 describes two central aspects of the character of God. And I just read this psalm as a part of my reading and reflecting a couple of weeks ago. Only two verses in this psalm, a bit different to Psalm 119, a couple of chapters on. But Psalm 117 says, "Praise the Lord, all you nations, extol him, all you peoples, for great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever." Two central aspects of the character of God, his love and his faithfulness. And that means that we can have confidence that the promises of God, whatever God promises, can be trusted, despite being in circumstances at times that might cause us to second guess that. That was the case for God's people who Isaiah was first written to, and it can be the case for us as well. But God's promises can be trusted. If God says something, that will come to be. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 speaks of this when it says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." No matter how many promises God has made, and there are countless of them, they are yes in Christ. If God promises something, we can rely on what he says. We can have confidence in God's promises. We can have confidence in God's purposes as well, that God's purposes can be trusted, that no matter what roadblocks might come along the way that might seem to get in the way of God's purposes, God will ultimately fulfill his purposes. And that's what happened for God's people in Isaiah. They were in exile, they were under siege, they were at a place that was literally in every way far from the place that they expected to be at. And yet God was ultimately working out his promises and his purposes. They couldn't see that at the time. They wondered, "God, what is going on here? You've deserted us. You're silent. We're being overwhelmed." And yet God was still working out his purposes. God can be trusted because he's our creator. God can be trusted because of his character. And as we read on here in Isaiah, the third reason why we can trust God is because he carries us. To carry someone is not an easy thing. It involves strength. You have to have strength to carry someone. You have to care for someone as well to carry someone. And yet Isaiah describes here the way that God has carried his people as we read into chapter 46. "Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you who I have upheld since your birth and have carried since you were born, even to your old age and grey hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you." This is beautiful imagery, and here they are. It seems it's like God's talking to the seniors in their old age and with their grey hairs. He describes that even to your old age and your grey hairs, I am he, I will sustain you and I will carry you. And so these people are looking back on some pretty difficult paths that they've been down, and they're still on a pretty difficult path, and God is reminding them that he has upheld them and he has carried them. When? Just for a little while? No. All through life, since birth, God says. And he's still carrying them. During the marathon last week, the Melbourne Marathon, I was about the 300 metres from the finish line. It finished at the MCG, and by that stage, you knew that the end was in sight. You could see it in sight. You'd run about 42 kilometres, and you knew you were on the last lap, so to speak. And as I was coming round that last lap, there was someone up ahead of me whose legs just started wobbling. And his legs gave way, and he actually just collapsed to the ground, and he was quickly surrounded by paramedics. But he tried to stand up again, and he too could see the finish line in sight. He knew that he'd come this far, and I didn't obviously hear all of what was going on at the time. But as it was described to me afterwards, he just pushed them aside. And he said, I'm this close to the finish. I am not stopping now." And they said, "Well, you can't. You actually your legs have given way. You're not able to get across the line." And again, he tried to wave them away. And what ended up happening was this: because he was so close to the finish line, even though he couldn't do it on his own, those paramedics actually carried him the rest of the way. In an even greater way, it's God's unlimited resources and strength that carry us when we are weak. It's God's sustaining care that carries us when you might feel like you can't go on. And whatever age or stage of life you're in, whatever situation you might be facing, we all need reminding that we don't walk the road or run the race we face alone, but we have someone in God, and God is not simply walking or running alongside us, but God is carrying us, and God is sustaining us. Like the poem Footprints speaks of, that when we ask the question, well, there only seems to be one pair of prints in the sand, God says, that's because I'm carrying you. That's because they're my feet and I'm carrying you. I love the way that Isaiah captures, through beautiful imagery, all that God does and is. God is our creator, God's character, God as someone who carries and sustains us. And then finally, God can be relied upon or trusted because, as Isaiah puts it, God is incomparable. In verse 5, with whom will you compare me or count me equal? To whom will you liken me that we may be compared? And in verse 9, remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. As people, we have a natural tendency in life to compare. We compare products, we compare prices, we even compare people. But here in Isaiah, what's being compared is God with anything or anyone else that we might be tempted to put our trust or trust in or reliance on. And large sections of Isaiah speak to how idols in our life, which in Isaiah's day were idols of stone or wood, but in our day can be idols of prosperity or idols of image or idols of success or idols of pleasure or idols of many and many other things as well. But Isaiah speaks about how whatever the idol is, these things cannot even begin to compare to God. None of these idols, nothing else, can save us or help us. Only God has the capacity to save and help us and make a real and life-giving difference in our lives. As it says, following on from the verse 5, whom will you compare me or count me equal? To whom will you liken me so that we may be compared? It says, some pour out gold from their bags. They weigh out silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith to make it into gold, and they bow down and worship it. They lift it to their shoulders and they carry it. They set it up in its place and there it stands. But from that spot it cannot move. Even though someone cries out to it, it cannot answer. It cannot save them from their troubles. God is not just another option among many. God is not just a part of our life along with many other parts in the sense that we rely on God plus other things or other people. God is incomparable. God is the only one who can be trusted to provide. God is the only one who can be trusted to break through. God is the only one who can be trusted to bring good. God is the only one who can be trusted to have our best interests at heart. So as we close, what does the answer to the question, can God be trusted, mean when it comes to the crunch for you in your life, in your situation, in your world? Can you trust God even when you're under siege in some way? And even when the temptation is strong to doubt or to deal with things your way and so put your confidence in the wrong things instead of waiting in trust for God to do what only God can do. Psalm 27, verse 14, the psalm writer reminds us, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. We find it hard to wait. We don't find it easy to wait. And yet, God says, wait for me. Wait for me to do what only I can do. Don't take matters into your own hands. Don't look to something or someone else above me. And as we come to a time of prayer now, I invite you to bring your situation, bring your setback, bring your siege in where you might feel besieged in life, and leave it with God. Release it to Him and rely on God with an attitude of trust in Him. God and only God is able to do what we can't do and what's out of our control. There is no promise too hard for God to keep. There is no prayer too hard for God to answer. There is no person too difficult for God to work in their life. And there is no problem that is too hard for God to solve. Let's bow our heads now as we come before our all-powerful and yet all-faithful and all-loving God in prayer. God, we thank you for all that you have been in our lives. But we thank you that that is not just past. We thank you for all that you are now. And we thank you for all that you will be into the future, that you are consistent, that what you have been, you still are, and you will be. But God, we confess that too easily we are tempted to doubt that you really can be trusted. We lose sight of all that you are, and we lose sight of your promises and your purposes. And so, God, now as we bring our situations, our setbacks, our sorrows, our sieges to you, we trust you with all that we face. We trust you as our Creator who knows us. We trust you because of your character. We trust you because you are someone who carries us, even when we feel weak and even when we feel weary. We trust you because you are incomparable. And God, we release these situations to you. We wait on you and rely on you to be at work and to know that you will work in a way that we can't. When we're tempted to snatch them back or to try to deal with things ourselves or to trust in things other than you, help us to wait patiently for you, to be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Thank you that you know our situations, our sieges, our setbacks, our sorrows. You know them intimately. You know all about them. You care, and you are a God that can be trusted. So God, help us to truly leave these things with you and now just release them afresh to you in trust. We ask all these things in the wonderful name of Jesus, our Saviour and our Lord.